Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 76, the We're on the Way to Virginia to the Big Quilt Show episode. Very excited, leaving tomorrow afternoon, probably around 2:30 or 3. Got some audiobooks to listen to today at the library. We'll probably listen to some podcasts as well on my way. It's just a few hours. And I'm quite excited, so I can't wait to tell you all about it next week. Now, this week has not been a very productive week for me, quilting-wise. Not sure why. I don't know. And it's funny because I talk a lot in the second quilt diary about how to get a lot of quilting done, which I do know how to do when I am focused and on my game. I've just started writing again after taking a little bit of a break. And I'm also working out quite a bit. You know, as you know, I'm trying to lose some weight here. And I've lost about 7 pounds since New Year's. So that's good. Doing well. And I think that just kind of keeping things low carb, more South Beach low carb than Atkins low carb. And I think exercising. Now, this has always been a question. My friend Amy and I debate this because there are those, especially people like Gary Taubes, whose work I find very interesting. He wrote the book, a very big book called Good Calories, Bad Calories, that was, he sort of condensed into layman's terms in the book, Why We Get Fat. And he's a very big proponent of low carbs. He thinks the reason we get fat is because we eat too many carbs, and it causes our bodies to produce too much insulin and to store too much fat. And a lot of that made sense to me. I'm not a scientist, but his explanations were fairly clear. And also the way he describes in this book how your body reacts to sugar and to carbs really felt to me correct. I know that when I used to eat a lot more bread and sugar, I would, often by this time of day, and it's today, by the way, is Thursday, February 23rd, and it's almost 4, and back in the day, I would just be kind of out of it and needing a nap. And now I have lots and lots of energy, I believe, because of the changes in my diet. One of the things that Taubes believes is that exercise does not have a huge connection to weight loss. And I've talked about that before, I know, because Sandy brought it up recently in an email. And what I feel for sure is that when I was younger, if I were exercising regularly, whether it was running or walking for an hour a day, which I used to do sometimes, and at certain parts of my life, like when I was working, I had a lunch hour and I would go walk, that I would lose weight without really having to diet, that the weight would come off. And especially if I was, when I was in college, there were a couple of times where I took up running and I lost weight without having to change any of my eating habits. And I lost a lot of weight just by running. And now, I'm 47, I'm almost 48, and I can exercise till the cows come home, but it doesn't seem to, exercise alone has not for a long time, I think since I turned 40, had any effect on my weight loss, if all I'm doing is exercising. But I am wondering now, because my weight loss has been very steady at about 1 pound a week, and I've been exercising on a very regular basis, at least 3 times a week and sometimes as many as 5 times a week. I know if nothing else, I feel very good and I sleep really well when I work out. So that's a good thing. But I do wonder, I mean, Taubes, his deal is that when you exercise, you actually increase your appetite and therefore you end up eating more. But I was thinking, well, you also, when you exercise, you increase your appetite because you've burn fuel, but you don't actually have to eat more after you're done exercising. His explanation is more complicated than the one that I've just given, but that is part of his explanation. Anyway, all this to say, I have been exercising more and certainly feel very good as a result, and perhaps some of my weight loss is a result as well. But working out into my routine has, I'm trying different things right now, especially now that I'm back writing. I really need to have 2.5 or 3 hours a day to write. That's pretty much all I can do with the first draft, which is what I'm working on right now. With revision, when I revise, I can work for much longer. I can work 4 or 5 hours very happily, but first drafts, I don't work happily at all. So Travis is here. Hello, Travis. Bumping into my computer. So I do. I still feel, I think I've talked about this in the Quilt Diaries, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but just still here it is, late February, and I'm kind of going, this year has just not gotten on track for me yet. Not a bad year. It's been a good year so far. It's been interesting. But I just don't feel like I'm in a groove yet, and that's all to say. I didn't get much done this week. It's funny. I am looking at American Patchwork and Quilting, the February 2012 issue, which I think is not the newest issue. That's the last issue. And on the front, it says, Trend Watch, Red and White Quilts Stage a Comeback. And I don't think I've actually read this article. I think I've had this quilt, this magazine hanging out for a while, and I've not read it. Still haven't decided what to do about my red and white quilt, because I'm not sure that what I have planned for it is going to work. But I'm going to ponder that. I'm hoping that this weekend I will be quite inspired and come back with all sorts of ideas about what I want to do next. And no, I've not finished my Sawtooth Star quilt yet. It's so close. It's so close that it will be done next week. I promise. I want to thank everyone who took time to comment on last week's episodes. I got plenty of nice comments. And I want to say, if you want to comment on this week's episode, feel free to do so. Come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I don't know if I'm going to have a picture today or not. I didn't do anything. Maybe I'll put a picture of some trees up or something. But come on over and leave a comment. You can also go to my Podbean site, although Podbean is getting kind of funky. Not with the transmission of the podcast so much, but as with comments. And it used to be that if I got a comment on my Podbean site, they would shoot it right to me via email, and now they don't do that. And so sometimes I miss comments. It's very weird. So if you think about it, go to the WordPress site, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You can email me at F, as in Francis, F Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. And I love to hear from you. If you've not left an iTunes review and the spirit moves you, go ahead and do that too. I appreciate it. All right, let me say thanks to the people who commented. I want to say thanks to Jane, not my mom Jane, different Jane, and she wanted to know how large the star quilt, the Sawtooth Star quilt is. It's 36 by 36, which is bigger than one might imagine, I might add. Got a very nice comment from Daphne, who said that all my talk of batiks has inspired her, and if you want to go see some really neat stuff that she is doing, go over to theimperfectionary.blogspot.com. Very neat work Daphne is doing. She will inspire you. Heard from Tori, who actually got up early and did some piecing before work. Isn't that cool? And she was hoping she might be able to come to Virginia, but now it sounds like she's not going to be able to. We're going to miss you, Tori. Heard from Quilter Caroline. Heard from Jay. Heard from Kelly the Fifth and Quilting Jenny. Heard from Marty, who I've not heard from before, so thank you, Marty, for taking the time to comment. And she sent me over to a really interesting blog called the Prayer Flag Project blog, and that's theprayerflagproject.blogspot.com. And she did so. She sent me there to give me an idea of what I could do with my orphan green star block, that maybe I could turn it into a prayer flag. So go check that out. It's very cool. It's a really neat idea. So thank you, Marty. And I heard from Terje. I hope I'm saying your name right. It's T-E-R-J-E. And this was also, I don't know. Is this the first time? I feel like it is. I think I would have remembered the name Terje if you commented before, Terje. Forgive me. But she said that she read The Boy in the Moon, which is a book that I talked about a few episodes ago, and really liked it, and it touched on some of the issues that she's dealing with in her own life. I would recommend this book to anyone. It's really good nonfiction. It's a difficult book in ways, but really interesting and beautifully written. Now, I was hoping I was going to have a book to recommend to you today. It's a book I'm halfway through. It's called The House on Butterfly Way by Elizabeth Beverly. And I picked it up just on a whim. I was at the library, and I liked the cover, which is a picture of sort of an old Victorian house with a wraparound porch, which I love. It's sort of a house that I would love to live in. Probably never will live in a house like that, but it's really neat. And I thought, well, it looks really neat, and it's about a woman whose husband leaves her, and she and her son move back to her old town, which happens to be Louisville, Kentucky, which is where my mom lives. And I just opened it to a random page, and it was well written and funny, so I thought, well, I'll bring this home. And I started reading it and really, really enjoying it. And what's funny is I looked at the side of the book. It had been out on display, and I looked at the side, and it says, it's a romance. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because I don't think I've read a romance since, you know, 10th grade, and here I am reading a romance. And I was really, really getting into it. I was like, oh, I'll have to mention this because it's very nicely written and it's funny. And then I just hit this chapter today where she moves back to her old town and becomes best friends again with her childhood best friend, which is really neat, except the childhood best friend is like really foul-mouthed and kind of obnoxious. And, you know, in a different book, that would be okay. But I feel like that violated the spirit of this book. You know, I'm just trying to read something light and funny and well-written because it's hard to find. You can find stuff that's sort of light and kind of funny, but that's not really well-written. And you can find, you know, I'm always interested in domestic fiction, which maybe is now what they call romance fiction. I don't know. But I like novels about families and about people and about relationships and about houses with, you know, wrap around front porches and all of that. But this book is not the right book for the foul-mouthed best friend. And I was really, I mean, I'm not shocked. It's not like, wow, I've never read this language before. But I was just like, wow, this is so out of place in this book. And so this is a book that I was hoping I could recommend to you because it's just a light, nice read, or it was. And then just got to this section. I was just like, where was your editor? It really just so bizarre and out of place and goes on too long. And I said, like, I can't recommend this book because, you know, I wouldn't recommend it to my mom. I mean, my mom's a big girl. She can deal with that language too. But it just was, it saddened me. It saddened me that an editor didn't go, you know what, you're so off track here. You're so off, you know, and what this character's saying is nutty. It's nutty. So not recommending that book. Sorry. I'll have something to recommend to you soon, I hope. All right. Did I say thank you to everyone, or did I just get off track? No, I did. I said thanks. No, hold on. Podbean. I got a very nice comment from Heather over on Podbean. So thank you very much, Heather. I really enjoyed hearing from you. Do give me a comment. Drop me a line. Drop me a comment. Drop me an iTunes review. Whatever you want to drop. Drop me a check. Drop me $5. I don't know. I'm always happy to hear from you. And no, you don't really have to send me money. Just send me your good zen if you've got it. I'll take that. Send me some focus. That's what I need. All right. Yes. So let's get on to the Quilt Diaries. And then I will be back next week. Okay then, I hear children screaming in the backyard. I think I better go check that out. Quilt Diary, day one. It is Tuesday, February 21st. I have not done a lot of quilt making since last we spoke. I didn't get anything done this weekend, and I'm so close to having this quilt done that it's just silly. I just have to quilt the borders and then add the binding, and it'll be ready to go. Oh, and put on the tab so I can hang it up. But that's it. I don't know what happened this weekend. Had a basketball game, had this and that, did a lot of reading. I don't know. But today I finally cut out the blocks for this month's, for February's block of the month from Grandma's Attic. And it is called Sister's Choice. It's very pretty fabrics, so I'm looking forward to getting that sewn together. I do think the first thing I will do is finish my Sawtooth Star quilt. And now I'm pondering my red and white quilt because my plan initially was to do all different red stars with white points. But I'm just looking at my one little star that I've got up on my wall over there. I'm just thinking, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's what I want. Now I might try alternating and do some white blocks with red points. See if that works. I don't know if that will work. It may just be the wrong idea for this pattern, this particular pattern in the Lintock Gals book, which, as we know, is called More Layer Cake, Jelly Rolls, and Charm Quilts. We know that's what it's called. I don't know. It just may be the wrong idea. It could be. I've had wrong ideas before, at least three of them. But I think that's it. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm getting excited about going to the Mid-Atlantic Quilt gathering convention. I don't even know what is it called, a convention? It's at a convention center, so maybe it is. But I'm getting excited about that, about meeting my various quilty friends there and seeing a lot of quilts. I am planning to bring various documentary instruments, including my audio doc recorder. It's not an audio doc, it's an audio thing. But I plan to make audio docs on it. And I guess I will bring this computer. And now I have a new phone. I don't think I told you that. That's what I got for Valentine's Day. It has its own little texting keyboard. And I've already irritated Jack to death by sending him funny little texts, which he doesn't respond to. Anyway, so, and that has a camera. I'm going to have to decide whether I'm going to bring my real camera. I might, but it's a little big. It's this very nice camera that my mom gave me. It's her old camera. She got a new camera. I just don't know. I'm not a great photographer, and so I don't want to burden myself with a camera if I'm only going to take horrible photographs. So I will think about that, I'm sure. And also, having a camera, I will feel obligated to take pictures. And while I'm very excited to take pictures of quilty friends, you know, when you're at a quilt show, and this is going to be a really big quilt show, I mean, you're going to want to take a picture of every dang quilt if you have a camera. Whereas I find that burdensome. I do. Now, I will have a camera in my phone if I really got carried away and felt like I needed to snap pictures of everything. But I would rather just look and think and remember. So I am excited, and I'm especially excited because I got the directions today. I MapQuested my journey, and it's only 3.5 hours. And I thought that it was going to be longer. Pam and I discussed it in Atlanta, and we both were thinking closer to 4.5, but according to MapQuest, 3.5. So that's quite nice. It means I don't have to scooch out of here too early on Friday to get there when I'm going to get there, which is, I'm shooting for about 7 o'clock on Friday night. I'm going to meet with Sandy. We are actually sharing quarters with Sandy's best quilting friend. What does she say? Her BFF, BQF, Kate. This is Sandy over quilting for the rest of us. And I'm going to meet her, and then I hope we will go to dinner, because she will have been in class all day, and I think she would be ready to eat, and I would be ready to eat, and I would love to have that chance just to hang out with good old Sandy. It's going to be fun, and I look forward to sharing with you next week. So I'm just sharing with you right now to give you a little bit of update what's going on in my quilting life, and the sad truth is not much, but I am hoping, I've got to make dinner, it's 6, and I'm hoping that after dinner I will finish quilting my quilt, my Sawtooth Star quilt, and then make the binding and have a nice evening of sewing on some binding to my quilt. Looking forward to that. I hope you enjoyed the season finale of Downton Abbey, all you Downton Abbey fans out there. I certainly did. I thought it was probably the best episode of the season, and just chock full of great stuff. So happy day. Although now we don't have Downton Abbey on Sunday night. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. We might have to talk to each other. Oh, crazy. All right. I'm off to make dinner. I hope, be back soon and have more quilty goodness to share with you. Quilt Diary, Day 2, Wednesday, February 22nd. I think I have not made a whole lot of progress since I spoke with you yesterday. I have cut out the binding strips for the Sawtooth Star quilt, but have not actually finished quilting the border, which will take maybe 30 minutes tops. Maybe I'll get it done tonight. It's not been a productive week, just hasn't quilty wise in any event. And it's interesting because I feel like in the last couple weeks I've got several comments along the lines of, oh, you get so much done, I can't believe you get so much done, you've got work and family, etc., or I wish I got as much done as you do. And I'm like, well, not right now, girls, not getting a ton done. But it did make me think, since I don't actually have quilty news to impart, that I could talk a little bit about getting stuff done. I find that what is true for me as a writer is also true for me as a quilter. And one of the ways that I get my writing done is I have a schedule and I adhere to it. Now, it helps to have a contract. I think if we were given contracts for our quilts, and at the end of making our quilt, we would get a check, that might get a few of us a little bit more on the ball. But that's a nice thing. But nonetheless, even before I had contracts for books, I knew that the best thing to do was to sit down at the same place, same time, every day, and get to work. And even if I couldn't think of anything to write, I could just sit there and write nothing, or stare out the window. Nowadays, the internet, of course, complicates things because you can waste a lot of time doing that. And I know a lot of writers who have uploaded software that kind of blocks the internet for a period of time, and it would probably be better for me if I just turned off the modem during my writing time. And maybe I'll do that. It's funny. When I'm beginning a book, when I'm working on a first draft, kind of goofing around on the internet is a bigger problem than when I'm revising and really know what I'm doing. So, any event, the point is to make the time and be there at the assigned time and to do it regularly, daily. With quilting, it's kind of the same thing. And typically, my quilting time is from, say, 3:30 to 5:30. I don't do it every day, but when I'm in the groove, I really do. And like when I was making all those quilts before Christmas, I did that. And that is typically my quilting time. It's a good time for me. I'm done with all my work for the day, from my writing to if I'm going to the gym, I've been to the gym. If I have errands, I've run errands. My kids are home, and so I am home. Will's in third grade. He's 9. I can certainly leave him here with Jack, and we have done that, the man and I, and gone out to dinner, and if I have to run an errand. But I pretty much like to be done with my day by 4, with my work day by 4. And so that is a good time. It's a time when I often feel at loose ends. And so it's another reason why it's good to say this is my quilting time. So when I'm really being productive, I'm really getting stuff done. And when that's what's happening, is at 3:30 or 4. I'm at the machine or at my cutting board and working. And it's fun, you know, because I listen to podcasts or get something on Netflix and, you know, take breaks to go do chores in the kitchen, you know, make the lunch or do some prep work for dinner, and come back. And that's one of the things, of course, I've talked about this many times, that I like about quilting is you can kind of move in and out of the room when you need to. And it's different when you sit down to knit, you kind of feel like you want a long time to knit. I don't know why that is, because knitting is very easy to pick up and yarn does not weigh very much, but it's just a different vibe. Whereas quilting, you're moving around so much. It's okay if one of your moves is into the kitchen to chop some carrots. So that, I think, is actually the biggest thing. And it's easier for those of us who work at home to do. You know, if you're working in an office 9 to 5, it's like, where do you find that time? One of the things, and I, you know, a lot of people will talk to me and say, you know, I really want to write a book, but I don't have the time. And I'll say, well, you know, how much time do you spend watching TV? And I'll say, oh, you know, a few hours a night. And I'm like, well, you have time then. You know, if you really want to write a book, you can write a book, even if all you do is work for an hour a day. If that's all you've got, get up an hour early or watch an hour less of TV and write. And if you do that every day for at least 5 days a week, you know, by the end of the year, maybe even sooner, you'll have a draft of a book. So a lot of us, when we say we don't have time, you know, one of the things I keep meaning to do is kind of an inventory of how I spend my time, and particularly my online time. I think like a lot of people, I can sit down at the computer just to check something out. I need to check a fact or renew a book on the library website, which is I love the library website. I put too many books on hold, but the library loves it. It's circulation in big numbers. I give them big numbers in their circulation. I put so much on hold. But anyway, I'll sit down to do that, and then I think, oh, I'm going to check this, I'm going to check that. And, you know, I'll look up, and 30 minutes have passed, 45 minutes have passed. You know, a lot of us say, oh, we don't have time, but we waste a lot of time. I waste a lot of time, and I think other people do as well. I'm not pointing the finger at you, or I'm pointing three fingers at me, so don't worry if I'm pointing the finger at you, but not the finger. This is a halftime show. Yes, so that's one of the things, too. There are times when I feel like, wow, I'm not getting much done, not just quilting. There's times when I feel like I'm not getting much done because all I'm doing is what I have to do and then quilting. But when I'm feeling like, wow, I'm not even getting much quilting done, what's going on? And I can look over my day and see where I really frittered away a lot of time just messing around. So that's if you're feeling like, wow, I wish I had more time to quilt. I just feel like we all can probably find an extra hour in our day if we do an inventory and see how we're spending our time. And, you know, Facebook sucks a lot. I am not loving Facebook. I don't know why. Because for a while, I mean, I've never been really active on it, but I always found it fun to check in and see what people were posting. And I don't know what it is, if just like my favorite people for the most part are posting a lot. I mean, there's still people who post, and I'm happy to see their posts. But sometimes I feel like it's just three people, you know, every time I go on. And, you know, one of whom is like a great friend of mine from college, and he posts interesting things and links to articles. So it's, you know, but I'm just like, David, how do you have so much time to post to Facebook? You're always posting. But I think that's something that can take a lot of time. Where, you know, it just can. You start looking for people you used to know, and so finding time, it's there. But I do think that the best thing is to say, here's the pocket of time where I do this work. And everything's habit, you know, everything's habit. And we may, you know, we habitually get up and take the kids to school or habitually make dinner. You know, it's just a matter of fitting something into your routine and finding a good place. But it's also, you know, you've got to figure out how much time you really want to give it. It's an interesting thing. I haven't quite figured it out why just in the last couple of years. It's just quilting is something that's really part of my week, and sometimes it's a really always, you know, it's a part of my everyday, but I certainly think about it every day, even if I don't do it every day. And, you know, it's become a bigger part of my weekend. And, you know, it's interesting. I just must really like to make quilts. I think I do. But it's funny because I don't think, like, outside of you guys, you know, and my mom, whatever, I don't think that, like, people outside of this circle of friends here actually have any idea. I spend so much time thinking about this stuff and doing it. But again, maybe because it's become part of my routine. So I wonder, so that's how I get a lot of work done. And again, some weeks are really productive weeks and some weeks are not. But the weeks that are productive are weeks where I am in general organized, and I'm trying to be a little bit better about making lists. Because, you know, if I don't have a list, I can really float around a day. I mean, I'll do the things that I don't have to write down. Like, I will sit down and do my writing for the day, and I will pick up my children from school, and I will go to the gym. You know, I'll do those things that are just naturally, you know, on my calendar to do. But other things, I mean, including cleaning, which I'm not huge on anyway, but I do like a clean house. I love a clean house. I need to get rich enough to have a cleaning lady. But, you know, every day I can go every day into my children's bathroom, which is horrid, and think this needs to be cleaned, and really they should clean it. And yeah, I don't know. This summer, I'm having a brand new plan. These children will be taking over most of the house cleaning duties, but I'll talk more about that this summer. But anyway, you know, I can walk by that horrible bathroom day after day and think, oh, this needs to be cleaned. But not actually clean it. But if I write it down, clean boys' bathroom, there's a chance within the next 3 to 5 days I will actually get it clean. So that's a big part of getting things done for me too, is making that list and realizing what, you know, figuring out what's the absolute priority, what's coming up. So, you know, at the end of the week, so, you know, so I don't get gobsmacked by any surprises. So it's good to, like, I try to do a weekly list and then a daily list. That's when I'm really on my game. I'm not on my game right now. I'll get there. It's been a little bit of... this year's been interesting. I think starting out the year and really busting my butt, my rear end, really working hard to get a draft finished. It was a weird way to start the year. Usually I start the year a little more slowly. And this year I was really working very hard. And then I had that period where I kept trying to get a break after I finished the draft to sort of get settled into the year. And I still kind of haven't done that quite yet. And here it is, February 22nd. Maybe it's just going to be that kind of year. But lists are good. So knowing what your priorities are, finding a time that works for you, and if you can find the same time every day, that's great. You may not want to quilt daily. You may feel like this is just my weekend thing, which is totally cool. But even if that's the case, find the time on the weekend and say, on Saturday mornings from 1 to 3, I work on quilts. Quick edit here. Saturday mornings would be more like 9 to 12. Okay, back to our show. Sacrosanct, that's what I do. Or Sunday afternoon, that's my quilting time. Just so you have it in mind, because it's really easy to get off course. It really is. It's things come up, or you're sitting there watching TV and going, I was going to quilt, and I got caught up in this movie, or I got caught up in Facebook. But if you've got it on a list, if you've got it on your calendar, this is when I do this thing, I think you're more likely to do it. So if you're trying to figure out how to make more time quilting, make a list. Put it on your calendar, figure out what time works for you, what time of day, how much time you have, if it's something you want to try to do every day. I think that's how progress gets made. Just taking little steps at a time, that's certainly true of writing. You know how you write a book? One step at a time, bird by bird, as Anne Lamott would say. If you're interested in writing, Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, is a wonderful book about writing. And she tells a story of her brother who put off a huge report on sort of North American birds like the night before. And then he realized he had a huge project and very little time to do it. And he was like asking his dad, how am I going to get this done? And his dad said, bird by bird. And that's how quilts get made, block by block, piece by piece. So even if you do a little bit every day, you get a quilt done. And, some of our quilts take months and months. I still have that quilt that I'm hand quilting that I really like. But I've been working on that for about a year, and I have other quilts that have come together. The sawtooth quilt has come together really quickly. But it's bird by bird. It's piece by piece. That's how we get our quilts done. And that, I think, is the argument for trying to carve a little time every day if it's possible. And it's definitely the argument for knowing ahead of time, when is your quilting time this week? Is it Saturday afternoon? Is it Friday night listening to Pam over at Hip to Be a Square? Maybe it is. But know beforehand. Get it down on the calendar. Get it on the calendar. It's just what we've got to do. If you want to get anything done, you've got to know that you're going to do it. You got to put it down on paper. I'm a big believer in lists and calendars. Not this year as much as in the past. No, I'm still a big believer. I just got to get back on that particular pony. All right. That's what I'm going to say for now. And I think I'm actually going to go ahead and finish this up because I do have to do the introduction. And if I have any big quilting news between now and tomorrow, I will tell you about it in the introduction. Otherwise, I will be getting ready for the big trip to Hampton, VA for the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show. It's going to be great. I can't wait to tell you all about it. I hope you have a good week. Get your quilting on your calendar. All right then. Take care.